Well, I want to begin by welcoming those who are listening online and those who are in attendance this morning. Thank you for coming. Title, Effectiveness of an Academic Asthma Health Education Program on Cognitive, Psychosocial, and Behavioral Outcomes in Older School-Age Students with Asthma. The authors wish to declare no conflict of interest, and we acknowledge the National Institutes of Health as our primary funding source. We are funded through four institutes. Primary is nursing with heart, lung, and blood, asthma and infectious disease, child health, and human development. As was just introduced, childhood asthma, 9 million U.S. children are diagnosed, 4 million are experiencing symptoms on an annual basis. Children ages 9 to 14 experience increased morbidity and mortality over all other age groups. So this is the target group I'm addressing their issues. Education and prevention, the National Institutes of Health, the guidelines specify that part of a successful management plan includes educating students with asthma about the condition and recommend expanding education beyond clinics to school settings. A comprehensive, theory-driven, evidence-guided program titled Staying Healthy, Asthma Responsible and Prepared, or SHARP, was developed. The developmentally appropriate school-based academic asthma health education and counseling program for diverse older school-age students with asthma was developed to foster acceptance by addressing cognitive, psychosocial, and behavioral aspects of asthma management and integrate into schools who were trying to demonstrate or being pressured to demonstrate academic outcomes. The comprehensive program has two components, a student component for children enrolled in grades 4th, 5th, and 6th, and a community component. The students enrolled in the program extend invitations to all members of their social network to attend the community program. The purpose of this study, titled Comparison of Asthma Programs for Schools, was to evaluate the effectiveness of the academic SHARP program compared to the non-academic open airways for schools disseminated through the American Lung Association. The program, SHARP program development and preliminary evaluation was presented at this conference in this section in 2007. So we looked at feasibility and benefits, then we did another study looking at efficacy. So this one is looking at effectiveness. We're comparing two equitable programs. By completion of this presentation, next slide. Attendees will be able to discuss the effectiveness of an academic health education program compared to a non-academic education program for older school-age students with asthma on increasing cognitive, psychosocial, and behavioral outcomes. We wish to acknowledge our administrative team members, the recently retired certified elementary school teachers identified by the district who were trained to deliver the program. The teachers were along the bottom here delivered open airways. Dr. Bumpus and the ones across the top delivered the SHARP program. We also delivered the program in schools during instructional time because there are academic outcomes. The program meets benchmarks for fifth grade assessment. Our evaluators were trained to collect data from students and their caregivers in their home using password-protected and audio link data entry systems loaded on encrypted password protected laptop computers at four time points over 3 years. Our community partners are listed here, and we want to acknowledge the Lansing School District in Lansing, Michigan. The acceptance of asthma model developed through a series of qualitative and quantitative studies within a lifespan development perspective from an ecological worldview, guided development, and evaluation of the program. A little bit about the programs. Students enrolled in elementary schools assigned to SHARP received 10 50-minute school sessions, and their caregivers were invited to the community program. Students worked through a 100-page workbook. SHARP incorporates its components into existing curricula as an elective course by including spelling, words, math problems, reading and writing assignments, discussions and demonstrations, and hand-on learning activities from biology, psychology, and sociology. Students are offered a personal choice to accept responsibility for their management of their condition early in the program, and then they're given the skills to be able to reach their goals. They learn anatomy and physiology. They compare and contrast bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer so that they can really understand what is asthma. As they progress through the program, they learn to differentiate asthma severity from symptom severity, and they teach one another about stimuli in a book report format. Rationale for medications prescribed to control and relieve symptoms are linked with pathology. 11 episode management, 8 risk reduction, and 4 asthma-specific health promotion behaviors are demonstrated and rehearsed. We have word and matching puzzles, body listening with stethoscopes, body positioning demonstration, mind-body relaxation, cough and deep breathe exercises, everything. Assertiveness communication skills are role modeled. We have 28 situations in which students might find themselves one day, and we practice and rehearse how they might respond. During sessions 1 through 4, students work on a creative artistic expression of what it's like to live with asthma. The drawings are scanned and placed on the front of their workbook and posted to our website. During sessions 6 through 9, they work on a creative written expression of what it's like to live with asthma. They self-select a pseudonym, and we also put that on our website. Open Airways for Schools has 2 components. Students enrolled in the schools assigned to receive the low-dose OAS control receive 6 40-minute sessions and take home weekly handouts to their caregivers. Group discussions, stories, games, and role play are used to promote students' involvement in learning. The kit contains flip charts and handouts for the students and the parents. The study used a 2-group longitudinal cluster randomized single blinded design. The sample consisted of 4th and 5th grade students aged 9 to 12 diagnosed with asthma and their family caregivers, drawn from 30 elementary schools in one community. Recruitment letters were mailed from the district to all families of students enrolled in those grades. 2 weeks after the recruitment letters were mailed, school nurses and school counselors began a telephone outreach to those students who had action plans on file with the school. With family contact information, we established relationships for baseline data collection. Evaluators were responsible for receiving written informed consent from the parents and assent from the students. Following baseline, we randomized the schools based on standardized reading and math scores, reduced or free lunch eligibility, and race and ethnic proportions. The unit of analysis is the student, and our retention at time 4, which was 36 months, was 82%. So we felt pretty good about that. Self-report surveys were used. Students completed 5 survey questionnaires. Caregivers completed 5 survey questionnaires. Students and caregivers were each offered a monetary cash award of $15 at each data collection point. BioMaker Pro was used to enter and manage data. Raw data were downloaded into SPSS for preliminary analysis, descriptive statistics, psychometric properties, frequency distributions. EQS was used for confirmatory factor analysis because I do work with latent variables. And then the R project was used for multiple imputations to account for missing data, multi-level modeling to address the specific aims, and then simple slope comparisons of variables within levels of other variables. Effect sizes equivalent to Cohen D were also computed. Power analysis estimates an adequate sample size of 150, so we met power, at 24 months post-program. The initial sample consisted of 205 fourth and fifth grade students and their caregivers. The majority of caregivers were biological parents, although the caregivers frequently switched. Working with primarily a homeless population that's defined as unreachable, mobile, and unreachable. So we felt pretty good in being able to monitor this group over time. Families reflected primarily low socioeconomic groupings, and I could go into tremendous amounts of discussion in that this study was started in 2008 when the economic crisis hit the state of Michigan. I'm going to go through a series of results now. The models contain two levels, time points, and participants of the potential confounding variables with p-values less than 0.25, only socioeconomic status raised to the level of significance in this final model. The groups were equitable at baseline with regard to knowledge and reasoning about asthma, and the simple slope comparison between pre- and post-test reasoning was significant for both SHARP and OAS students. However, the simple slope comparison between SHARP and OAS was significantly different at post-test with a moderate to large effect size of 0.63. So you can see that an academic program is different than a non-academic program. With regard to psychosocial acceptance, taking control up here was statistically significant, demonstrated an improvement in both groups. Vigilance in the need to be attentive to symptoms and treatments was statistically significant in both groups. Openness to learning is an example of growth curve analysis, and that's why we're using this. It went as predicted, just wonderful. SHARP demonstrated increase over OAS, but then over time, the need to learn diminished. Openness to sharing, again, SHARP demonstrated increase over open airways initially, and then, as predicted, kind of had a little slope. Don't you love growth curve analysis? Connectedness with school teachers. SHARP students demonstrated statistically significant increase pre to post. And this is, again, an example of growth curve analysis. As the students transitioned into middle school, then, those connected relationships seemed to wane. With regard to friends, groups were not statistically different, which means we need to do a little bit more with our community program and attracting the friends to come to the community program. With regard to PE teachers, where's the PE? Isn't that one fun? What happened over there is that when the students went into middle school, they no longer had PE, so they didn't know how to respond at the final wave. But what we'll do is we'll analyze data through 12 months rather than 24 months post. Classmate, connectedness with classmate, oh, this is good, being female was a covariate. Which is consistent with adolescent growth and development as students transition into middle school. Over time, there was less negative perception of connectedness, so that was a good thing. And then with the positive support that you, this is like the negative that you get from your classmates, that's the support that you get from your classmates. So, and the support seemed to decrease as students went into middle school. So that's another area for us to consider. With regard to beliefs, both groups demonstrated significant improvement pre to post. Medication as needed was initially increased, but we're looking at the intermittent variable nature of asthma here. Learning is important. Both groups felt learning was important at baseline. Everyone needs to learn. The age of students was a covariate here. Younger students felt that learning was more important, and this decreased over time naturally because they had learned what they needed to know. No cure. SHARP students demonstrated a significant increase over open airways. No one dies. A trend is there, but there's no difference between the groups. With regard to health behaviors, there's no significant differences were noted in exercise, asthma control, or hygiene, although it looks like there might have been, there wasn't. With risk reduction behaviors being watchful, both groups improved and the improvement was sustained over time. Talking with others, both groups improved. Rinsing the mouth after using inhalers, both groups improved pre to post. With use of pillow protectors and mattress pads, I have to say that we gave out pillow protectors to the SHARP students, but the door prizes for the mattress pads at the community program, hot commodity. So we did give out about 12 mattress pads, but you can see that people did start using those. With regard to episode management behaviors, the use of medications, people generally knew their medications. There was no significant difference there. Where we did have significant difference was using alternative P PMPD, cough and deep breathe, pursed lip breathing, that kind of thing. So SHARP demonstrated significant improvement there. So academic SHARP demonstrated significant increases in acceptance, beliefs, behavioral outcomes, and significant improvement in knowledge and reasoning over students in the non-academic program. We recently translated the program into Spanish, and into a standardized Spanish. We're testing that program in a school district just outside of Austin, Texas, and we are now at the point of dissemination and implementation. Any questions, or can we move to the next person?
Questions?
How long does it take to go throughout your own program? Is it included in the school?
It depends on the school district. We partner with the school district. We can do the program twice a week for 5 weeks. We can do it once a week for 10 weeks. Or if you have to consider teacher days, spring break, this and that and the other thing, it could take the semester. It could take up to 14 weeks, depending on the school district.
Is it part of science? Or?
It's an integrated module that captures all of that. It captures science and reading and math. It's an integrated module. Certified elementary school teachers at the elementary level are used to teaching these types of integrated modules, and we work with them to develop it as one.
And
does
all the ISD accepted or just the schools that you target?
We were working in Lansing. We actually worked in several communities in Jackson. They wanted the program launched the year after we learned feasibility, so now we can offer the program to them. Lansing wants to continue working with us indefinitely into the future. They love this program. Yes?
Question. I mean, we're getting more and more pressure to link our ad programming to outside academic outcomes in terms of, like, general level of school improvement for kids with asthma pre- and post-program. Were you able to get your hands on any of that data, or can you speak to your challenges with that request?
This is going to be, we're now at the point of dissemination and implementation. How many of you understand what that means? That now we look at, can we get it into the schools, will it sustain over time, and what would be those long-term community-wide outcomes? Decreased school absenteeism, decrease of use of healthcare systems, all of those things. And scores, I think, would also be there. The program per student averages about $100. That includes $12 for the materials and then the teacher salary. So when you think of the cost of one inhaler is that much. And then one school day missed is $60. So we figure the program does pay for itself, but keeping kids in school with oxygen flow to the brain would be a really good way of looking at those academic outcomes, and I hope to be able to include that in our next study. Anything else?
No, I have one quick question, and that is where was the non-academic program administered?
It was administered by certified elementary school teachers. They were trained to deliver the program in school during instructional time.
Both of them were
in school during instructional time. And our biggest challenge, and I have to share, I just love our school teachers, they kept trying to make open airways more than it was. So they kept trying to make it an academic program because naturally they are teachers. So that was a challenge for us, but thank you.
Thank you very much.